I want you to turn, please, to Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, reading down to verse 23. Let's hear God's word together. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the traditions of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and the teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders, instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" He replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." And he said to them, "You have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, 'Honor your father and your mother,' and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban,' that is, a gift devoted to God, then you're no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside of man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." And he had left the crowd and entered the house. His disciples asked him about this parable. "Are you so dull?" he asked. "Don't you see that nothing that enters a man from the outside can make him unclean? For it doesn't go into his heart, but into his stomach, and then out of his body." In saying this, Jesus declared all foods clean. He went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. From within and out of a man's heart come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. And all these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Let's pray together. Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us now. In Jesus' precious name, amen. The relationship between Jesus and the religious authorities had been strained right from the very beginning of his ministry. His 3 years in public ministry had shown the complete difference between what he was teaching and what they were teaching. And none more so than this point of divergence in this passage. Traditionally, Israel or the Hebrew people had the Ten Commandments. They believed had been a revelation from God, and then the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible. In that did contain some rules and regulations, some way that the community would conduct itself and receive God's blessing and approval, those things that God would bless and those things that God cursed. But that never entirely felt sufficient for some Hebrews. And so religion over a period of time had developed. And about the 5th century BC, a group of legal experts, known here as the scribes, took it upon themselves to analyze the revelation that God had given, the general principles and rules and moral expectations that should be placed upon people. But those scribes then developed an intricate system to protect these perceived revelations or truths that God had given. It meant that there were a number of extra rules and regulations that had been developed. And suddenly, perhaps unintentionally, Hebrew religion was flooded with so many rules and regulations. These were known as the oral traditions, the tradition of elders. And the tradition of elders eventually became indistinguishable from the Ten Commandments and the Pentateuch. It was as if the tradition of elders was on equal footing with the revelation that God had given. But so much so that for some, it was the only way of measuring whether God was present or not, whether God was going to bless you or not, or if God was unhappy with you or not. So if you broke these extra rules and regulations, you come under God's disapproval, and as a result, under theirs. Now, these rules eventually moved away from being an oral tradition to becoming the Mishnah, a written code, but that was after Jesus' death, about the 3rd century AD. And in the Mishnah, there are so many regulations about ceremonial washing and cleansing and what makes something pure and impure, that this is what Jesus was attacking. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered round Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. Now, that isn't a rule about hygiene. That isn't someone who's just forgotten to wash their hands before they eat a meal. I mean, we know all about that, being brought up in a home as a child. Have you washed your hands yet? It's hygiene. Not good to come to food because you get an infection from it. But the Mishnah, well, it was later to become the Mishnah, but the oral tradition of the elders had nothing to do with hygiene. It was about how you washed your hands. They had given specific details as to how you would begin to wash them, how the fingers and hands would touch during the washing, the amount of water that was required to make the hands ceremonially clean. It was a complete rigmarole of activity that needed to take place, because if you didn't wash them properly, everything you touched became unclean, therefore couldn't be used in worship or for worship. And you were unclean as a result of that. And you could be avoided by those who were clean in case you contaminated them. And the scribes and Pharisees came to Jesus and they said, "Why don't you hold the tradition of the elders? You're breaking the law." And Jesus replied to them, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites. It is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are rules taught by man.'" What a criticism from God's Son about what they had done with his Father's revelation. "You have made this thing a tradition of man, not a revelation of God at all. The rules that you're imposing upon people are not from my Father. They're from your forefathers. But they are not a divine revelation as to how you should live. And do you know what? It has made you a hypocrite. And those were hugely damning and damaging words that were being levied against religious leaders. You've become hypocrites. Hypocrites is the Greek word. And hypocrites was used to describe initially an actor, someone who would perform on stage. They would come and do a little piece in front of others. They would act like someone different. They would speak like someone different. It bore no relation to the person who was off stage, but for a short time, they would put a presentation on. They would develop a different character, and people would be involved and be entertained. And Jesus said, you Pharisees are a bit like that. You are hypocrites. You are actors. You come onto the religious stage, and you're not the type of person that you're presenting to others. It's a religious facade. You're good at acting. And these rules and regulations give the impression to other people that you're highly spiritual. That because you keep the traditions of elders, that somehow people should applaud you because you're doing very well. And many of these external things are fairly easy to keep. But you miss everything that my Father sought to teach you. You see, this is why he came to his disciples. He said, what comes out of a man is what makes him unclean. From within, out of a man's heart, comes evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean. In other words, Jesus is saying, how dare you come to me, you hypocrites. And you come to me and you say that my disciples don't pour a little bit of water over their fingers. When deep inside of you, though you wash your hands and make yourself ceremonially clean, deep inside of you, I have seen your heart. And I know that you're contemplating adultery. I know that you're living an adulterous life. I have seen the malice and the envy and the lewdness and all the filth and dirt that is underneath that apparently clean surface of your life. And you take some of the most vulnerable, some of the weakest, some of the most desperate and the needy that have become my disciples, and you claim that you know God when you're an actor on stage. When you present a very different appearance to those who are watching and applauding and have been entertained by your religiosity, but underneath you carry with you some of the deepest, darkest sins known to humanity. Is that true of me? Is that true of you? Behind the religious veneer could lie a life of complete sin, hidden to others, but not to God. You hypocrites. What else was happening? They were listening to others, to the wrong voices, to clever arguments, but not God. You see, the tradition of elders had emerged over 500 years. It had been instigated by clever people. They sat down in their groups and they met as groups and they said, how do we best understand God's law? And from that, using human reason alone, they tried to develop a religious system. And it came with clever arguments as they debated, discussed the finer details of what needed to be added in order to protect what God had given. And through the centuries, they had so far moved away from what God had said, of which Jesus is about to talk about in a second, that these rules and regulations now govern people's lives. But the effect and the authority of those rules was during human discussion and debate over the finer details of it. It was like barristers coming together to discuss the finer points of the law. And they probably didn't need God's revelation to do that, because they were discussing what this Pharisee had said, or what this scribe rather had said. And that's how they taught. And remember when Jesus came in early part of Mark, and they said, "You teach as one who has authority, not as the scribes and the Pharisees." And why did they make that observation? Because scribes would have quoted other scribes for support and authority. But they didn't need to quote the Bible at all. And in a similar way, my challenge goes out to you today, that the danger of the scribes and the Pharisees were that they were based on the opinions of men and not the opinion of God's word. That they had ignored the revelation that God had given them through the scripture, the Ten Commandments and the Pentateuch. No longer were they the defining references that were being used, but it was the opinions of other scribes and Pharisees that they built their religious life upon. And unless we use the Bible as our primary authority for our life, then we too could end up like scribes and Pharisees, beset by rules and regulations that are simply the tradition of a particular church or a particular group of people. But they are not based upon the teaching of God's word. And no longer do people discuss in depth how that word should be understood. And there's a real temptation for people today not to be grounded in the word of God. And I challenge you today to get grounded in the word of God. I am challenging you today not to accept anything I say unless it is based on scriptural teaching. And there are occasions that I may get that interpretation of the scriptures wrong. But at least there is an attempt to make the foundation of that teaching the basis of scripture and its interpretation. And I would suggest today that our church is in danger of celebrity pastors who have opinions, rather than actually about congregations and people rightfully dividing the word of truth for themselves. But the temptation is a type of laziness that accepts that God is, by their appointment, talking through them. It is the word of God that speaks. And it is somewhat disconcerting, and even as a ministry team we have met, we study a particular book in the sense of what people have written, that you could go for half a book without scripture being quoted. What is that but simply the opinion of a human being, if it is not being referenced against a Bible text that we can also discuss and see the merits of that interpretation? Get into your Bible. Read it as your primary source. Every rule or regulation that you prescribe for yourself or feel that someone else should adhere to has to be based on that and that alone. Lastly, Jesus said, "Do you know where it has gone horribly wrong?" And he said to them, you have a fine way of setting aside the commands of God in order to observe your own traditions. For Moses said, honor your father and your mother, and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death. But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is korban, that is, a gift devoted to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or mother. Thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and you do many things like that. So this is just repeated in your behavior time and time and time again. Now, what is korban? Well, it's difficult to define and it's difficult to tie down. But generally, scholars would say that it is either one of these two things. Korban was something you could declare that had been specifically set aside for God's use. It was dedicated to the ministry and the work of God. Therefore, you'd have had religious objects would have been set aside, could only be used for those religious purposes. But it could also be then extended, and was extended in a way that God never intended, to be used for the advantage of human beings. In other words, if, say, Jeff owed me £100 as a debt, I could go to Jeff and say, Jeff, I really need that £100. And Jeff said, well, that's all right, I'll get it back to you a couple of weeks' time, in a month's time. And then a month comes and goes, and Jeff still hasn't repaid it. And I go back to Jeff, and I say, Jeff, that debt was korban. In other words, I have set your debt off as being totally dedicated to God. Now Jeff's in trouble. Because Jeff now doesn't just have to repay me, the debt is owed to God. Because I have set it aside as a korban gift. And Jeff now feels that God's punishment is about to be unleashed on him because he owes me money. Now, there could be 1,000 reasons why Jeff is struggling to repay that debt, but he hasn't told me yet. But now the debt is even much more serious. And Jeff gives me the £100 back, and I put £10 of it in the temple, and I keep £90 for myself. Smart move, isn't it? Yeah. It's korban. Now, where Jesus got really sick to his stomach was that they were using that with their mothers and fathers. You know, I'd love to help you, Mum. I'd love to help you, Dad, but it's korban. This has been used only and exclusively for the glory of God. I couldn't even give you this if I wanted to. All this money, it's korban. It's to be used for God, not for you. Jesus says, that makes me sick. Because you have misused my Father's name. You have made my Father look like a tyrant, an unloving God, because you know what the law teaches. Can you see where we're going with this? You know what the law teaches. Honor your father and mother so that your days may be long upon the earth. And anyone who doesn't honor his father or mother could even be put to death. But what you have done is you have said korban to protect yourself so that you don't have to be kind and generous and godlike. You have disgraced my Father in heaven. You do it nullifying the word of God by your tradition. God has taught you that you have to love people. God has taught you that you have to serve people. God has taught that you need to be sacrificial in your life. But yet those things that you want for yourself, you make a korban dedicated to God. But it is only so that you do not serve other people. You're not interested in their needs. You're not interested in how destitute they may be. You're not interested in how helpless. You have no heart at all. You are a hypocrite. You claim that you serve God, but you're only serving yourself. It is self-interest in the worst possible way because you have earmarked it for God and kept it for yourself. And therefore, when Jesus was quoting Isaiah, he said, "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by man." And basically, Jesus was bringing religion right back to the heart of God's revelation. When he was asked about the law, he said, "The law is summed up in these two things: love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And the truth is, you do neither. Because if you did, these rules and regulations would be chucked out. Because they're not there to serve God. They're there to serve you. They're there to protect your interests. They're there to make you look good. They're there to serve your own ends. But if you were truly my servants, if you were truly my disciples, you would love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And these people that you regard as unclean, these people that you pronounce korban to, who you may refuse to help, even your own mom and dad fits into that category, means that you are a hypocrite, an actor of religion, but you have no heart for God." And for each one of us today, that is a serious, serious contemplation. Have we ever used religion for our own ends? Either to make ourselves look good or to avoid someone else? It's not what goes in, it's what comes out. How are you on a Monday? Is the religious veneer taken down? The real you begins to come to the surface in terms of what you say, how you say it, who you help and who you don't. Jesus said, "Listen, if you were full of my Father, you would love him and love others as a result." It's no wonder he was crucified. Really. And he still would be today. By us. By those in churches. Who find it very difficult to accept the perceptive eye of Almighty God. Who could cut through all the veneer and get to the heart. The inner disposition. For each of us today, I think if Jesus arrived at church, there would be much more repentance, be much more acknowledgement of our shortcomings and our failings. I think if Jesus arrived at church and we truly listened to him, our inner dispositions would change. We go back to those that we've pronounced korban over and refuse to help. And say, "Listen, what can I do? What can I give? How can I help?" And that would be true religion. Helping the widows and the orphans. Maybe we have taken our self-obsessed religious practices to a new level. We no longer use korban. This is dedicated to God. That's why I'll not help you. We actually are so bold that we can say, this is dedicated to me. And I'm going to keep it. And you'll get no help from me. And Jesus said, wasn't yours to keep. I give it to you in the first place. And I'm asking you to share it. And in response to that, if we truly want to pronounce korban over it or our lives, it would not only be dedicated to him, but dedicated to serving others. With God's grace, help us to do so. Let us pray. May your amazing Holy Spirit continue to speak to us in Jesus' name.